Mark Megan's Weekly Roast. Proudly supported by Cialis for Men. Struggling with erectile dysfunction? It's nothing to be ashamed of. Cialis for Men 10mg film-coated tablets, which contains tadalafil, is now available without prescription. Just a quick, discreet chat with your pharmacist, in person or online, can help. Find it at pharmacies nationwide or visit www.cialisformen.ie for more details. To be taken at least 30 minutes prior to anticipated sexual activity. Always read the label. Go Loud.
Back to the Weekly Roast. How's it going, guys? How the hell are you? How are your hearts? And of course, how are your heads? Guys, this episode of Mark Megan's Weekly Roast is proudly brought to you by Cialis for Men. And the beauty of Cialis for Men is that you have 36 hours to make your move. So you can decide when the time is right. Eliminate the scoreboard and rise to the occasion whenever the mood strikes. Now let's get stuck in, to the roast that is. Cialis for Men contains tadalafil. To be taken at least 30 minutes prior to anticipated sexual activity, always read the label. Guys, how's it going? Speaking of sexual activity, I'm having a baby.
Hey!
We're having a baby. Not me, and Mystery Mick with a slippery dick. No, me and my loving wife, she's having the baby. I had a minor role to play in the conception, but we are delighted. And I just want to say, to begin the episode with a brief bit of nauseating sincerity, borderline earnestness, but a little douse of wholesomeness, I want to say thank you so much. Thank you to every single person who has not only listened to the Weekly Roast every week since we began the show, but to those of you who sent me a lovely message about our pregnancy, Darren's pregnancy. You can't say our pregnancy. People hate that. No. Over the weekend. I genuinely, really and truly appreciate it. There's so much time, of course, to do lots of parent-related podcast topics and whatnot. But I do just want to say it's... I've been truly blown away by some of the messages I've received about our good news, and just thank you so much. I remember there was a time about a year ago, and I probably called Mystery Mick about this. I was having just a difficult day for whatever reasons, something I know related to my sobriety. And I was chatting to this old fella, and he said to me, "There are people not born yet who will benefit from you being sober." And I was just like, holy shit. That is just...
It's amazing.
Just that, like, instant grounding perspective. And, yeah, you know, so... And the proof is in the pudding. So I'm just insanely grateful. It is quite the turn from where my life was 3.5 years ago. So, yeah, I from the bottom of my heart, thank you. We're absolutely over the moon. As I said, there will be lots of time for parent-related subject matter going forward. Nevertheless, back by popular demand... It's Mystery Mick. Malcolm. Good God. Malcolm to the Mo, Mick.
Malcolm. I wrecked my own intro last week, so you just wrecked the intro this week. It's all good. We're back. Go.
I received so many messages from people saying they love Michael's laugh.
I can't believe it. The $1 million laugh. Over the moon. Thank you so much.
€17. Nevertheless, guys, it is the roast of friends, weird parents. Thank you so much for tuning into the Weekly Roast. If this is your first time, I will give you a whistle-stop tour of the insanity. Every single week on my Instagram, at Megan Mark, I post a question box. And then people come in with their contributions and suggestions. The show is essentially Ireland's confession box. After we get your contributions, we distort your voices, providing you with the anonymity required to speak freely. This is a safe space. This is a great place. And it wouldn't be a place without you listening every week. So thank you so much. If you enjoy the show, let me know on Instagram at Megan Mark. But now let's get into it. Oniva.
Hi, Mark. Love the show. Congrats to you and Darren. So I had a friend whose mother was insane. Arrived at the door one day, about 15, knocked in, and the mother opened the door with duct tape over her mouth motioned for me to go upstairs to the daughter. So I went up and said, "What's going on with your mum?" She said, "Oh, you think that's bad? Go down to the kitchen and have a look." So went down to the kitchen and, no joke, every item of food in the kitchen had a post-it stuck on it with things like, "Don't eat me. I know I look delicious. Only a few more hours to go. You can do it," written on post-its stuck on every bit of food in the house. Turns out she was fasting for blood tests later that day. See you later. Love the pod.
For the love of... for bloods.
For bloods.
You have to fast for about 4 hours for bloods. This isn't fucking Ramadan, Katrina.
You essentially skip breakfast.
Do you know what an insult to those who do and participate and partake in Ramadan. Shout out to those partaking in Ramadan. Like, duct tape over the mouth is completely preposterous.
We're not exactly masters of moderation ourselves, but...
Steady on, Michael. Manuel, Mystery Mick, revealing our secrets and our tricks.
I think you and I could even exercise that level of self-control.
Okay, neither of us would exactly be experts in terms of controlling our impulsivities, but, good God, sellotape, duct tape over the mouth. And then, by the way, you don't need to name the foodstuffs around the house. Going around giving them sentience... writing on a packet of fucking McVitie's biscuits, "Don't eat me." This is completely insane. Looking like a victim of a kidnap with a duct tape over the mouth. Just go and sit in your car. Bang your head off the steering wheel, you loon. What are the bloods for? Surely damage to the frontal lobe, one can only assume. What were the results of those tests, Katrina?
You're
a nut job, confirmed. If you just take a step to the left here, there's a padded cell. You can smear your feces over the bars if you'd like. Like, good luck. Oliver.
So my friend, Kerry Lady, she was explained to us one day that her dad, countryman, said to her one time, "Geez, blank. Your arse looks like two pigs fighting in a bag when you're walking." Oh my God. Oh my God. Funny image, but Dad, that's a shameful comment.
Good stuff. So your dad is essentially John B. Keane with the brain injury. Like, that is... Your arse looks like... What was it?
Two pigs fighting.
Yeah, two pigs fighting in a bag, I think he said. Which, let's be honest, I know that some people think I'm some sort of ignorant city slicker who's never took a step beyond the pale. But let's be fair. Two pigs fighting in a bag. No, I've never seen that.
It's never happened.
I've seen two pigs fight over a bag. But less about the Debs.
Oh.
No, we can't. We absolutely can't. I mean, I just... Also, I think for me with this, it's like, it's not the arse. It's not the imagery of the swines. You know, the pugilism and the swines, that's the issue. The issue, Dad, is that you're commenting on your daughter's arse.
Just straight up fat shaming.
No matter what... forget the fat shaming. It's the arse in general. Whether the arse is fat, skinny, tall, wide, small, short, or whatever. Don't be talking about your daughter's arse. And obviously, don't be bringing swines into it.
Absolutely.
Good. It just, when she says countryman, this is not the way all countrymen are, no. You know? I know at least... Oliver!
When we were in college in the early 90s, and it was all very new, and we were in like 17, 18, and we were all just getting to know each other, and my friend's mom, and we're still friends, even though we're now in our 50s, but my friend's mom, the first thing... she did when she dropped in some groceries on week one, and we were, like I say, all getting to know each other, came and she had a 4-pack of pink toilet roll, and she explained that she was dropping that in because, let's call the friend Mary, Mary's so hard on toilet roll. So that was kind of strange the first week, but every week after that there was a certain amount of groceries she'd bring in, the same things every week, which we all, of course, thought is the best thing ever, because the rest of us had to do our own shopping. And there was always the 4-pack of pink toilet roll just to cater for that friend Mary's extra needs with regard to toilet roll. So, you know, we used to think she was so lucky, but apart from the toilet roll, a bottle of vodka would have been a
better option. So that was our situation. So yeah, it was very weird. Also, hasten to add that there was no medical issue in the situation. No health reason under the sun for this toilet roll.
Of all the things to be known for.
That's so strange.
Mary is a bit too hard on the toilet roll. Like, I've been called a lot of things, okay, and continue to be in life. But too hard on the toilet roll is just...
What on earth made the mother inclined to share the fact that, like, just buy the toilet roll?
She says it as if, like, oh, you know, Mary, she's a bit hard on the toilet roll. No, I don't. I have no idea. Of course I don't know that.
Mary with the leaky arse.
Do you know what I mean?
Just buy the toilet roll. Give it to them.
This is, okay, like, of all the things to be known, I would have thought one of the worst things to be known as is, like, harmless.
Yeah.
You know, and someone's like, oh, yeah, Ado's going to come. Oh, what's he like? Ah, harmless. That is a harmless, or what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
You know, hard on the toilet roll. Also pretty bad. That's sort of up there as well. Like, you know, because when you're known as hard on the toilet roll, that for me is like you've gone beyond wiping. That gives, like, you're mopping up.
Yeah.
That gives,
there's a level,
you know,
up there that's a problem.
And to say that you don't know she has a medical issue, have you inspected her undercarriage scissors style? Do you know what I mean? Like breaking a wishbone on a chicken. Do you know, like, this is just, the mother has done her literally so dirty. Like, that is, well, you know, Mary, she's a bit hard on the toilet roll. Oh, Kia, nice to meet you. You must be Mary's. Why are you running out the back door? Like, you actually, of other things to be known as, you rang me up recently. Mystery Mick rang me like 3 weeks ago when he was stressed about something in his life, and he was like, oh, I'm running around, I'm just trying to do too much for everybody at the same time. I'm getting pulled in different directions. Like, you know, sometime whenever you're just like, you're just being far too agreeable. And I was like, I've been known as lots of things in life, Michael, but I don't think far too agreeable is something Mark Meagan has ever been called. Let's go.
So I'm going back to the 90s. I was about 15 or 16. I was going out with a fella for about 2 years, and his father was a strange fish. He was a big lurch of a man as well. I used to kind of be very intimidated by him. But the weirdest part is, when we used to be hanging out on weekends, obviously in his house, this used to be early enough at night, like I'd say 10. His dad used to be in the living room on his own, blaring Channel 18, we used to call it, you know, the German porno channel. And all you'd hear is the sounds ricocheting around the house. And needless to say, I was traumatized, like good old Catholic girl. And my boyfriend at the time thought nothing wrong with it. He was like, oh, that's just my dad watching the porn. Like it was normal.
As if it's nationwide. Do you know what I mean? Oh yeah, my dad just, ah, that's him. It's, what time is this? Yeah, he's watching the porn. We need to normalise interventions. We need to popularise people intervening with family members. The straits need not be dire in order for somebody to take, pull a family member aside and have a quiet word and go, by the way, you're watching pornography in front of my fucking teenage girlfriend. And as, and I quote, the noises of the porn is ricocheting. How loud does he need to have the porn on?
Bones reverberating around the house.
Would you watch porn on loud?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Surely it's mute.
Completely.
And then every now and then you've forgotten that it's on mute and it's like, tired of watching porn? Yes! Of course I am! The laptop is on my chest! This is dehumanising! Fictional fucking cartoon woman, you're degrading me! Tired of watching porn? There are local MILFs in your area with the free iPads, I'm sure. This is a disaster. Who clicks those ads? Tired of watching porn? There's 78 hot singles in your area. There's only about 14 people in my cul-de-sac. 3 of them are dead. There's no way. Who believes that? Who falls for pop-up pornography ads? How horny would you have? How much would your logic have to be dwarfed by the horn that you would go, do you know what? I'm going to click that. And not only that, I'm going to give my credit card details. There must be somebody waiting for the ride just around the corner. So much so that this cartoon Asian schoolgirl is giving me, alerting me of her whereabouts. Good God, the dad watching porn. I what time is it? 10 o'clock? Fuck, I've missed match of the day. Right, stick on tits galore, please. him just sitting back with a packet of KP peanuts. Do you know what I mean? Like, watching it for the plot lines. Was he a plumber? Was he a pizza delivery driver? Like, completely absurd.
Disgusting.
The most absurd porn plot line of the last few years are those taxi ones that you see doing. I mean, that one might see doing the rounds.
Well, that one might, yeah. Of course.
No, but the other way, it's like, this girl gets into a taxi and she's like, hi, I've got a really important business meeting. Could you get me there in 5 minutes? You look like a filthy slut. Sorry? I'm immediately calling the taxi fucking ombudsman. This is bananas, not... Sorry? Let me take out my briefcase, which is somehow riddled with dildos. What was your meeting? Are you a dildo saleswoman? Not a bad business idea. If you weren't so fucking hort. No, let's go. This is good luck.
So basically, my friend's mom, every time we went to her house, whether it was for lunch or we'd do a lot of pre-drinking in her house, she'd be like, now, get down the stairs now and go into Nana's room and say goodnight to her and give her a kiss.
No.
And... it was a compulsory, there was no choice. And now we could have had a couple of naggins of vodka now before this on our way out. I'd still have to go in and kiss the Nana goodnight and go on my merry way.
Good stuff. Compulsory kissing of pensioners.
I don't understand why you go back to that house though.
Yeah, we kept going. Oh, Sarah, Friday, pre-drinking in the ears. Yeah, but you know you'll have to. See you there. See you for 7. Bring the gang. I feel like... like, what's the Nana like? Is the Nana just sort of lying there with her sort of arms like across her chest, Snow White style, or like she's about to go down in a Spanish water slide? Do you know what I mean? And a 14-year-old who's grossly incompetent and very much just there to try and pull is, you know, when he's like, just put your arms across your chest? And you're like, well, I'm terrified. Anyway, is the Nana just sort of lying there with, like, you know, one eye half open, and then she hears a pitter-patter coming down the hall, pretends to be asleep.
That's Deirdre, you know, the girls.
Spits a Murray Mint out into the waste paper basket beside the bed and just starts drooling, waiting for the kisses. This is completely... oh, Mark. Oh, great to see you, Deirdre. Yeah, thanks a million for having us. Oh, no, Mark, just before you go, nip in there and score Kieran's Nana. No, you're grand. I'm also calling the police. Like, what? Oh yeah, we used to. The only condition for drinking in Fiona's house is that we have to sort of, you know, we have to kiss her granny,
kiss a pensioner,
and if you want to lift to the bus stop, you have to drop the hand.
Oh my god, no,
the Nana,
no, absolutely,
no,
not.
I believe
no.
The conditional kissing of pensioners as a house rule is barbarism. I feel like the Nana, there's no way that the Nana isn't complicit in this. Like, here's a question for you, Mystery Mick. Were there lads going over to pre-drinks? Lads!
Once word got out.
Where's Killian? He's been gone for 45 minutes. Killian comes back into the room sweating, smelling like lavender potpourri. And fucking Nationwide, you know what I mean? With blue rinse all over his lips.
Oh my god.
Looking like Heath Ledger's the Joker because he's gone down on Bernadette. This is absolutely, as you might say, my boy, they're all Jamal. Level. This is madness. Oh, guys, I hope you are enjoying the weekly roast. We're featuring our very guest roaster, Mystery Mick. It's great to be back. It's great to be here with you all. Thank you so much for listening. As always, if you enjoy the show, please shoot me a message on Instagram at Megan Mark. Let me know what parts you enjoy. Let me know if you're bloody enjoying Mystery Mick, by the way. His ego's as fragile as mine, if not more fragile. So,
oh, I'm fucked.
If you ever interrupt me again.
I'm sorry.
Whose name's above the fucking door, Mick?
I'm sorry.
Remember that.
Sorry.
Nevertheless,
love no. Me.
if you enjoy the show, let me know. Furthermore, the quickest way to express gratitude to the Weekly Roast, if you're enjoying it, is to share it with a friend. So thank you so much to the listeners. Now, look, we finished the last stage with a Nana, and we're going to begin the next one with a Nana. So like Rihanna said in IKEA the time that she suffered a concussion, oh, Nana, what's my name? That is just appalling. Let's go. Michael wrote
so that. When I was a teenager back in the 90s, we had a friend, it was 4 girls, and we'd all go to the local teenage disco, probably once a month, once every 6 weeks, especially in the summertime. And the last girl we called for, her mother always insisted that we come in and stand in front of the window in the sitting room and hold my friend's granny's ashes in the photograph to include her. Him in the picture, and my friend's mother would always keep note of who held the ashes last in the last photograph, so we'd all get a turn to hold the ashes so nobody was left out.
Good stuff. Like, there's an Irish phrase that I feel is, and I'm not doing the old, only in Ireland, but like, only, you know the phrase just like, can I have a go of?
Yeah, yeah.
Give us a go of your nana there. Give us a go of your nana's ashes. Posing with nana's ashes, like it's the fucking Sam Maguire. Can't believe I knew that it was called the Sam Maguire.
Very impressed and surprised.
There you go.
There you go, mad culture.
What you make of that, Mick?
Can't believe it. This is just bananas to me. Now, I don't have any ashes within my family, but
okay.
Even the fact, like, surely they
So where are your nanas?
In the ground.
Okay, so that would make it more difficult.
It would be.
It would,
one of them's alive.
You'd probably have to bring them in through the front. What? One of them's still Michael!
Oh my God!
History, Michael!
Wow, Mary, I'm very, very sorry.
Mary, if you're listening, I'll be in to give you a smooch the next time I'm over for pre-drinks. Ribena only for the recovery boys, though, all right, Joe? You old bloody legend. Oh, lovely. You have just buried your granny on a podcast.
I am done.
Nevertheless, I think this is all. Let's go back to this woman's nana.
Yeah.
What sort of insane? Oh, nana would have loved a good teenage disco. Do you know what I mean? Mabel has lived through a world war, right? Maybe two. And then eventually she succumbs to pneumonia. Do you know, at the age of 96. And now she's been passed around like a parcel, like a blunt, like a joint. Do you know what I mean? Being passed around between teenage girls wearing so much fake tan, by the way, that when they leave the nightclub Jacks, it resembles a Bobby Sands art installation. Like, is this, was the nana like the final boss of teenage discos? Guys, make sure to go in and pose for a picture with Mabel's ashes. She would have loved, she was just mad for teenage disco. She would have loved Hopeless Place by Calvin Harris and Rihanna. Yeah. She would have loved a good watermelon vape and getting fingered behind the bus stop, our nana. Wouldn't she have? Fingers first, girl, you know. This is just like nana would have loved a good nagging in the shrubbery. Who was this nana? Was she Dot Cotton's cigarette? Like, I don't know. This is just, like, yeah. How was last night, girls? It was good. How was the disco? Disco was fine. Held a nana before. Like a little Gashka award. Let's go.
Hi, Mark. So when I was in primary school, I had a friend. And when I would call to the house, her dad would be standing topless in front of the hall mirror, combing his thick, luscious blanket of chest hair. It was jet black, except for one silver patch in the middle. So he would comb it all together and then he would separate the blacks from the silvers and he would comb the silver individually. And he would call his comb Daddy's Special Comb. So one day I remember coming in to their hall and he was frantically looking through the drawers in the hall table, shouting, "Has anybody seen Daddy's Special Comb?"
Okay, I just want to say, I got very nervous there when she said separating the blacks. Like, I was like, oh God, things have taken a turn. Nevertheless, okay, for some reason I can't but help picture Colm Meaney in this situation. And number two, where do we feel on chest hair? I was getting messages all over the weekend because my chest hair is sometimes visible in shirts and stuff. But like, we ever shaved that chest hair? How is it to be a man? What is a man anymore? So one minute I'm abused for wearing jeans that are too skinny and I look like Avril Lavigne mixed between Todd from the Wedding Crashers. Then I've got chest hair and I look like Robin Williams' gooch. Do you know what I mean? What is the answer to the people of Ireland when it comes to masculinity? I don't understand. I mean, combing the chest hair in the hall. Thoughts?
This man is a pervert. That is my only thought. I have no other notes to this. I just have the willies when I hear it. It's disgusting.
Okay. The willies is a... Yeah, it's okay, let's go.
When I was much younger, so probably 17, 18, we used to go to after sessions or sessions in this fella's house and his dad was a photographer, a professional photographer, and he had a studio out in like a little showmra out in the garden. And people used to always get their picture taken whenever they were at sessions, like group pictures and everything. And he noticed one of the girls had a tattoo on her back. And he, like, actively encouraged her to take her top off so that he could capture the essence of her tattoo and really show its beauty. The best part of this was her tattoo said, "Life goes on, ... So I don't know what essence was captured of that.
Good God. Let me be very clear. The Venn diagram of men who become interested in photography and perverts is essentially just a circle. That's the fact. And I think amateur male photographers don't get the heat that they deserve. Every man that goes out and buys himself a DSLR or decides to become interested in photography at a later stage finds himself at a creative crossroads, right? Tits or poverty. That is it. I don't know. The tits or poverty is the way that men go with cameras. And then every man that I vaguely know of who takes photos has sent at least 3 problematic messages to other people I know going, "Hey, yeah, what's the story like? I just am putting together this series. It's called Humans." Brilliant. Who's the fucking creative brains behind that one? "Yeah, I've got this one, I'm actually working on a new project coming up. It's called Individual. And the idea is just like, we all just live this life, you know, but everyone at the end of the day is individual." Good stuff. Have the National Geographic been in touch? Because, no. Let's go.
My friend's dad always had a bottle of piss in the fridge. He'd fill it up like once a day and he'd have a glass of it every morning. It had to be ice cold. And he said that he felt like it kept him young, gave him nutrients. And he was a Buddhist, so he believed that like it was really helping with his mental and physical health. His wife also had really bad PMS and would start like she'd hold a knife up to him and then like threaten to stab him like almost every other month. And I don't know if the two were related, if he just needed to always be calm and meditating to deal with that.
Okay, there's a lot to unpack here. Hold on. First you say, so he used to always just have a glass of piss. You say it so casually, as if you're referring to like Fanta Exotic or Club Lemon. Do you know what I mean? It's not my waddy, it's your daddy's piss. This is just so insane, okay? Then the wife having bad PMS is the biggest deviation from his deviance ever and definitely unrelated to his original perversion of swallowing urine, you know? So let's just... And then the Buddhism, I'm not... Like, I make no bones about it. I'm not super au fait with sort of Buddhist teachings, but I am aware of, like, vaguely the Four Noble Truths, okay? Which is suffering exists, it has a cause, it can end, and there is a path to its end. There isn't like a fifth noble truth after suffering exists that states one must swallow piss. Do you know, was your dad Gwyneth Paltrow? Like, that sort of makes that. I feel like that'd be a Gwyneth thing. Oh yeah, I just swallow a glass of piss, have a placenta omelet, and then I go out and I don't know. Do you know what I mean? Run over kids on ski slopes. How's the fucking snowplow now, Gwyneth? Do you know what I mean? When you try, I don't know. This is all just completely insane.
This goes over so many different areas. I'm just very uncomfortable listening to this. I don't know.
The only time that apparently it's appropriate to piss on people is the whole, the jelly sink thing.
Jelly.
Wasn't that what, apparently Mystery Mick, there was a rumour about Mystery Mick a few years ago going around that he had a snorkel and a wetsuit and he used to hide on the seabed floor in British Bay and go around nicking people's ankles with a Swiss Army knife and then he'd tell them it was a jellyfish and he'd take his phallus out, his little moist, limp, nervous prawn with social anxiety out of his wetsuit and ask, can he dribble him on? And then the police got involved and he became a Buddhist. And his missus is bad PMS.
Namaste.
Let's go.
One of our friend's fathers, when he'd be giving us lifts to places for all girls, he'd count how many of us were in the car. So it might be like 3 of us in the back. And he'd be like, psh, 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 psh. "There's 3 pussycats in the car."
No. Like, meowing. There isn't a gulag cold enough for that guy. Thomas Cook, there isn't, the conditions in a gulag are too favourable. The lack of aircon in Guantanamo is like undeserving of this, of the torture that this pervert should be subjected to. You absolute loon adjacent creep predatorial bastard. Thought, Micheál. Micheál,
people like this are the reason why therapy exists.
Yes.
This is just...
The fact that this girl, woman, lady, remembers this 30 years on. How was your childhood, Denise? Yeah, I was happy enough. Grew up in Carlow Town, the land of the lakes and all that. You know, Carlow is the land of the lakes.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Apparently because there are lakes beneath Carlow. Any Carlow people or their cousins want to get in touch? Or any other couples for that matter? No, you can't. Brilliant. Shout out to the Hackettstown Horde. There actually are some listeners from Hackettstown. Well done. But, fuck. That's just lost me like 90 Instagram followers.
Where is he going with this? Oh, yeah.
In terms of teeing yourself up for a needless incest gag. Nevertheless, what was the voice note? Oh, yeah. The moment that noise and the little finger, like a miniature Italian... Do you know what I mean? Italians, by the way, we get it.
We do.
Sometimes with the Italians, not in a racist way, but they shouldn't be allowed vote. No, no. No, but you have to. In Italy. You're not in Italy, mate. You're in. No, this is. I've got a good friend from Italy. I know loads of Italians.
Carlo first, now Italians.
Oh, look. All I'm saying is that if you are making. What is that noise? The psh, 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 what would you call that?
Psst, 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 that's what I just call it.
Psst. I would go psh rather than psst.
Ooh, I don't know.
I think I got stung by a jellyfish.
Let me just come around the desk here.
Steady on. Guys, thank you so much once again for listening to the Weekly Roast. This is my favourite time of the week. And yeah, I'm eternally grateful to all of the new listeners for coming on board as well. It's been a lovely period of growth for the show, and I will not say anything now or speak out of turn, but let's just say I'm very grateful and hopefully we'll be seeing you all very, very soon. Final furlong. It's the last section of your friend's weirdest parents. Now, I will remind you, if you have any suggestions on what you'd like roasted, send me a message on Instagram at MeganMark. If you have any other wider observations, theories, comments, questions, what have you about the podcast or me and my life in general, send me a message on Instagram at MeganMark. Share the show with your friends if you want to show some support. All the best. Much appreciated. I'm here with Mystery Mick. He's about to give my ankles a little nip with the Swiss Army knife. Let's get into it, guys. Let's go.
Hi, Mark. Love the pod. Thanks a million. So my story isn't directly about me. It's about a friend. For the purpose of this, we'll call her Leah. She was about 12 or 13 and she went to her friend's house for a sleepover. At about 3:30 in the morning, she needed to go to the toilet. So she went up and she used the toilet. And when she was coming back to the room, she looked down the stairs and she could see her friend's mom tied to the kitchen chair. Oh. And she had like tape across her mouth and she didn't look terribly well. Leah went into her bedroom and rang her dad and told him what she saw. And the dad rang the guards. So the guards arrived at the house and they were outside the door and they were like, "This is on guard. Is she calling? You need to let us in. You need to let us in." Brilliant. And the dad was shouting like, no, don't come in. Don't come in. Don't come in. The guards ended up breaking down the door. When they went in, yeah, the man was tied to the kitchen chair, bound up, her mouth sealed, the whole lot. The dad was standing there only wearing a leather thong, basically. Yeah. And he was using a whip to beat the mom. They were basically just acting out a sexual fantasy. Now, look, no judgment here. You do what you want to be doing. But maybe not when your child is upstairs having a sleepover with their best friend. Not the best time. Thanks, Million Mark. Bye.
I don't even know where to begin with this.
I'm speechless.
A leather thong? Surely that would produce enough sweat to hydrate every country south of the equator. There you are, Bono. They're fucking snapping the fingers. Hold on a second here. So you're there's just so much to get through here. Okay, so you're staying in your mate's gaff. You go over 3 a.m. for a pee. You look downstairs and you can see the mother slouched on the sort of Dennis Hopper in True Romance style, sat, you know, on the chair with the fag out of the mouth, looking absolutely, as you say, she didn't look well with her mouth sealed shut. Was that the only orifice sealed shut? It sounds like a few others could have done with a bit of clothes. I don't know. This is the dad wearing a leather thong that he's fashioned out of one of the clean black bags from beneath the sink. This is all just, I'm sorry, there's no such thing as kink shaming. There's perverts, I don't believe in kink shaming unless it's polyamory or dominatrix. They're sort of open goals. How do you get into that though? On what stage? So Deirdre, I believe you work in the HSE. I do, for my sins. Yeah, you're an accountant, are you, Greg? I am, yeah. Listen, I've got a leather thong in my gym bag. Do you fancy coming back to the gaff and getting whipped? I do indeed. Like, how do you get from intercourse, missionary style, to leather whips and leather thongs? I love the impression she does. Hello, it's the Garda Síochána. Let us in, let us in. Which policeman were you in the Pirates of Penzance in the National School play 1997? Like, hello, it's the guards. And I love the way the guy in the leather thong just goes, no, don't come in. Oh, sorry, mate. We thought there was something salubrious going on in here. Obviously not. Wait until your kid's not having a sleepover. That is also, let's think about this. That is so embarrassing for the kid whose parents that is. Do you know what I mean? I thought my parents were weird.
But this is a great episode because I think it gives you context of just how mad other people are. So I feel so much better about myself.
So you're the episode rater now, are you?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Here for less than a fortnight and he's already given us a Spotify reviews. Barry Norman of the podcasting world. Do you know what I mean? Jesus Christ. How many jellyfish have you stung this week, piss fingers? Nevertheless, like my dad would have, the worst thing my dad would have done is I think he used to do this like really annoying Roy Keane impression.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, now obviously I'm not great with cork, but it's sort of like, it's abandoned sort of skid. I want to go to the World Cup. I want to win the title. I want to go to the World Cup in South Korea. I want to win the title. And then, when we get there, I will create a fuss about the surface of the beaches. Because the beaches are tough. They are hurting my toes. And Michael McCarthy is a bad, bald man. He don't believe me. I'm getting back on the plane to Eamon Duffy House and Alex Ferguson. And you can play with Jesse McAteer. Dad, is there any chance? Is there any chance we could have a couple of fruit shoots and my waddy and just go in and watch? This is the Rosemont levels. On y va.
Hey, Mark. When I was younger and I used to go to my friend's house, every time I used her bathroom there was this like one glass just sitting in the windowsill full of what looked like a suspiciously golden liquid, shall we say. I remember the first time I actually did see it, I thought it was one of those jelly candles that you'd have back in the day. I did tip off it because they were one of my favorite things, but it was liquid, so I immediately put it back down. But it wasn't a one-time thing, like it was constantly there. It was always there, like sometimes it'd be full, sometimes half full. Sometimes it'd just be a sad little puddle at the bottom of the glass, but the glass was always in the window. I eventually cracked one day. My friend and I were both in the bathroom, wash our hands, and I asked my friend, like, hey, what's with the glass of, I know, what I pray is apple juice in the window? And she just very nonchalantly tells me that, no, that's her mom's weed. She drinks it. I think my world started spinning. I had so many questions for her, but I did not get very many answers. So apparently she thought it was really good for her skin and she read it in a magazine.
Ah, good. Read it in a magazine, was it? Dubai Pervert Businessmen Monthly. I must have missed that subscription to that gazette whenever I was buying my German porn last week. Like, come on.
How do you end up getting in a situation where you end up drinking your own piss?
On a regular basis. And by the way, you're not shamed. You're not embarrassed by it. You're not mortified. You are, it's probably good for my skin. Meanwhile, she comes in looking like she's got fucking monkeypox beta. Do you know what I mean? Some new, a sort of monkeypox SARS hybrid.
Oh my God.
Boils coming out of it. Like, just, you wonder about people's naive. Also, what's a jelly candle?
Yeah.
What is it? Is that a thing?
A jelly candle.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's one of those things that you would have seen in a house in the 2000s, just like a naff kind of accessory.
Yeah, you sort of told me nothing there, Michael. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, drinking piss. Have you ever drank piss?
No, I haven't.
Would you drink a pint of piss for free for the next 30 days if you're going to get a free wedding at the end of it?
Is that a genuine offer?
Daddy's thirsty. Let's go.
Growing up, my best friend lived diagonally in back of me. His dad was a Vietnam vet and was always home. We were always allowed over there, though. And he had BB guns, and we would shoot the BB guns, shoot his empties off of the fence. And then at night, he would build these huge bonfires. Like, my parents could look out their back window and see the flames shooting up over the shed. And he would tell us his war stories, basically, the entire night, scare the crap out of all of us. And then when it came time for Halloween, he would build a cemetery in his front yard. And the headstones were all names of people from around our small town that he didn't like. And so he was totally out of control, completely unhinged. But like, we were always allowed over there. It's not like my parents didn't totally know what was going on. And I think about it now, having kids of my own, I can't imagine letting them do it, but we loved him so much. Their house was totally the best. He was completely unhinged, but he was our champion. But yeah, that's my story.
Okay, so this guy, Vietnam vet, is clearly suffering dreadfully from PTSD. Like, he still thinks he's a nap.
He's still there.
Imagine the chaos that would ensue if you were to order a 3-in-1 to his gaff. He'd probably fucking kidnap the driver and throw him in the basement Gran Torino style. Like, this is a man who is losing the perennial chess game with oneself that you play when you're suffering from a mental health issue. This is like, he just lights, it's weird. That's old Mad Douglas. Do you know old Mad Douglas? Yeah, he lights fires in the garden. He sort of has face paint on the cheeks. Do you know what I mean? Skirts between the shrubbery. Howls every now and then. If you cough, he jumps out of his own skin. He's so terrified. Like,
a terrifying man to live by, but I don't think there's enough of this.
You could just put 40 bowls of pho in his front garden and finish him off entirely.
I don't think there's enough of this today, though.
What? PTSD or Vietnamese wars?
No, just
badly thought through, desperately executed, needless wars in Southeast Asia, which the Americans never truly admit to completely fucking up. And the way in which they've neglected those vets, much like many of the other veterinarians. They're not veterinarians, are they? God, God, just when I thought I was out, they pulled me right back in. That got a real laugh from both people in this room. That's the laugh that I know very well, that when for my entire life, that's the, you're not so fucking smart now, you bollocks. Anyway, you daft soldier. No.
Like, having mad neighbours like this is the making of a good childhood.
Yeah, but mad neighbours is like, oh, don't ring the doorbell because he'll lose his mind. Not like he was 17 and he was convinced to go off to Vietnam to be a real man. He came back and was discarded on the coast of California, never to be acquainted with his family or reality again. Uncle Sam, goddamn. Let's go.
Hi, Mark. How are you? Love the podcast. So yeah, about 2 years ago, my eldest boy, who was about, he was in, I'd say, third year then, came to me saying that a group of his friends had set up a WhatsApp group called Stifler's Mom. And apparently such said group was about me, his mom. He came to me kind of upset about it. I kind of got a kick out of it, to be honest. And yeah, apparently he was added to that group only a few months ago. So when he was added to the group, he went into the group to see who was in it. And lo and behold, it was the boys that I would have known since they were in nappies in preschool, in junior school, playing sports together, growing up. All of these boys were in it. And yeah, basically the WhatsApp group was times that they would have
come over here to our house or called in, leaving their rugby gear here or dropping in to see if he was here, and basically about what I would have been wearing or not wearing, whatever the case may be. No, I wouldn't claim to be a lookalike of Stifler's mum, not one bit. I might have certain attributes. Oh. I definitely don't behave like her. But I just thought, you know what? I'm going to take this as such a huge compliment. So yeah, I'm basically a Stifler's mum.
You say that you don't behave like her. Yeah, you've just sent a 3-minute long voice note to two strange men outlining the fact that there's a group of also strange men who like to comment on your physical attributes. She sent in a picture.
She didn't.
A few, actually.
This isn't even relevant to the topic. This is just a brag.
This is just, I'm
this
hot.
This is a straight up brag.
This isn't friends weird. Sorry, yeah, I'm just real. This isn't, this friends, a roast of friends weird parents. My mates, my son's mates think I've got big tits. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love the way she, I don't know. She's enjoying this.
She's just, no, but she's straight up bragging.
Yeah.
Oh, the lads call me Cuisine de France because I'm hung like a baguette. Cuisine de France. Had to bring it back.
It's so unfair to
I know! Like, why? Why would you do that?
Okay, that's it. Thank you so much for listening to the Weekly Roast, guys. Hugely, hugely appreciated, as always. You're probably tired of hearing me say this, but if you enjoy the show, share it with a friend. Help spread the good word of the roast. I would be forever grateful if you could do that. And also, if you enjoy the show, let me know. Send me a message on Instagram at Megan Mark. That's where we collect all of the stories, all of the tales of your trials and travails and whatnot. So thank you so much for listening. At Megan Mark on Instagram. Have a great week. Enjoy the bank holiday, my friends. Happy Easter to all of those good and God-fearing Catholics out there, which you'll understand the reference if you follow me on Instagram. Be good. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Mark Megan's Weekly Roast. Proudly supported by Cialis for Men. Are you one of nearly 3 in 10 men experiencing erectile dysfunction? Why not have a quick, discreet chat with your pharmacist about Cialis for Men 10 milligram film-coated tablets, which contains tadalafil, now available without prescription in pharmacies nationwide. Find out more at cialisformen.ie. To be taken at least 30 minutes prior to anticipated sexual activity. Always read the label.